Good morning. Hey, it's good to be with you guys today. We still got some people out traveling and on vacation, and so it's good that you guys are here, and those that are worshiping with us online. I played hooky at the first part, so if they didn't greet, those that are new, thanks for being here today, and we've got a gift for you in the back. Please take that, and we just want to bless you with that gift. So it's good to be with you guys today to worship and open God's Word together. For the last 2 weeks, we paused in our series in 1 Thessalonians to give some focus to our youth camp and to our family worship last week, but this morning we dive right back into our series titled Real. We're walking verse by verse through 1 Thessalonians. It's an amazing book where God uses the Apostle Paul to write this letter to a young church that is living their lives as Christians in the midst of a city that is anything but Christian, right? They needed Jesus. The city needed Jesus. And the Lord used Paul and this church to live real lives for Christ and to share the real gospel with the city. And so far, we've seen Paul really just love on this church and in this letter and really celebrate all that God's been doing in their life. And also through their church. But Paul highlights, he goes through and highlights their faithfulness. He highlights their unity, their growth, their desire to share Jesus, right? To love others. He rejoiced that they were united in what God was calling them to do, and they were loving one another. Sometimes it's kind of funny, you know, we would think we're really good at loving people on the outside, but are we good at loving those inside? And so, in fact, in the first three chapters of this letter, there's no corrections or rebuking at all. I mean, you open up a book of the Bible and Paul said, hey, I'm praying for you, but knock it off, right? I mean, that's kind of how he starts some of this stuff. It's like, hey, you're not living for Jesus, straighten up. But he's just really, really loved on them and celebrated what they were doing. And he points out for us the example that he and that they lived as they followed Jesus and lived at his church. We saw godly examples of leadership. Saw examples of how to function as a healthy, local, loving, united church, how to love and serve and grow with one another, how to love on the community. And then a few weeks ago, we saw Paul pray for them, right? There was a great application for us in that, in their prayer, that we learned to pray passionately and persistently for one another, to pray that we would grow in our walk with Christ, that we would grow in our love for one another, for Christ and for the world, and that we would live our lives knowing that Jesus is coming again. Today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul has a bit of a shift in what he's been writing. He's going to remind them of some things that he taught them when he was with them, but he's going to begin to instruct or exhort them. He begins to teach them some theological truths. He even begins to speak about Jesus' return. So it's going to be some exciting stuff over the next few weeks, but also some challenging and encouraging stuff today as we walk through the rest of the book. And so, guys, if you got your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some for free for you at the back of that table, and they are yours. They are a gift to you, and it'll be up on the screen as well. But we're going to be in verses 1 through 8 this morning. As you're turning there, I want to prepare us a little bit before we dive in. At Authentic Life, we don't just pick and choose what we preach, right? We want to walk verse by verse through books of the Bible, and we're able to learn so much by doing that. But here's the other thing. It also causes us to have to tackle some tough subjects, right? I mean, sometimes you open up the Bible and you're like, yeah, I'd rather not do that one, God. We're going to do a different verse today. But this morning, we're going to see in God's Word, he's going to lay out for us a passage focused on purity, specifically, I think I'm allowed to say this in church, sexual purity, right? Am I allowed to say that? I'm behind the pulpit, so it's just going to happen, right? And so as we do with every other passage, we're going to seek God. We're going to walk through this appropriately with love and grace and see what God is teaching us this morning. I know you just sat down, but to honor God and his word, would you guys stand with me as we read his word this morning? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Here's what God's word tells us this morning. Paul writes, additionally then, or finally, brothers and sisters, he's writing to Christians in the church, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God, as you're doing, do this even more, or excel more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles, just talking about those that do not know God. This means one must not transgress or sin against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses. As we also previously told you and warned you, For God has not called us to impurity, but to live lives in holiness. Consequently, whoever rejects this does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we know that you're good. We know that you love us, and we're grateful for that. God, we pray, Lord, first for those that aren't with us today. God, we pray, Lord, you be with them as they travel, as they may be sick. But God, we just pray, Lord, that you bring them back safely. Thank you for those that are worshiping with us online as well. God, as we hear from your word today, we pray, Lord, that you're glorified. Sometimes when we open up your Bible, we have kind of our own thoughts and our own opinions. But God, just today, we trust you, and we want to hear from you and be taught by you today. So God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I don't even know how to drink water anymore. So from the start, in chapter 1, he brings up their spiritual growth, right? He's encouraged that they're in the Word of God, that they're following other godly Christians, and that they were growing. In chapter 2, he talks about how he was with them and teaching them. He encouraged them and taught them as a father would how to grow in their walk with Jesus. In chapter 3, he celebrates that they're growing, right? That they're maturing in their faith. But also, he highlights that there's more growing to do. Guys, that's for all of us, right? There's always more for us to learn and grow in. You know, Paul, the one that God used to write this passage, he said, guys, I haven't attained it yet. I've got more learning and growing to do, which guess what that means for us? So do we, right? We all have got to learn and grow. And so in chapter 3, Paul prays for this church and for this Christian as they would that they would continue to grow. He says, God, whatever they're lacking in their faith, in their Christian walk, help them grow in that. And then in chapter 4, we again see Paul speak more about their walk and their growth. Because here's the thing, Paul knows there are challenges all around these Christians and there are temptations to not follow the Lord, to not walk with Jesus. But he also knows the life that God has for them, right? And when we spend time with God, when we allow God to speak into our lives and teach us and grow us, our lives will be different and it'll be more like Christ, like he calls us to be. And so we're going to just start with the first two verses today. And see what God has for us. He writes this. Paul writes, brothers and sisters, I'm writing to the family of God. We ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God, as you're doing, do this even more. For we know what commands we gave you, and they were through the Lord Jesus. As we walk through these next 8 verses, we're going to see some clear application for us to apply to our lives, and we're going to look at those as we walk through this whole passage. But the first one is really the overarching one on your notes. It's the first one that we come to in the first 2 verses. Paul is clear. He's telling these Christians that their walk, that means this, church, your walk is how you live your life. It's your conduct. Your walk with the Lord needs to be a priority. And that's the thing for us today. Our walk with the Lord must be our priority. Now, your walk with the Lord is my priority. Amen? Right? My walk with the Lord is your priority, but you guys have personal responsibility. We have personal responsibility to follow the Lord. And Paul's telling them, right, you've been doing that. He said, hey, you've been doing it. You've been after it, but keep it a priority. He says in verse 1, you received godly instruction from us on how you're to live and please God. And he said, keep it up. Keep excelling in it. So our walk is how we live. And then he says, you know, how do we please God? Basically what that is, church, is what the Word of God says, what the Bible says, live it out. That pleases God. Following what we hear from the Bible. And so Paul is saying, keep living for Christ. Keep following and obeying and trusting in God and what he says and what his Word says. Guys, we need to hear this. You know, because here's the reality. Our culture is always changing. The thing that was the truth yesterday is not the truth tomorrow. You know, I mean, it just seems to change. But God's word is always true. We can always trust it. And so he says, keep after it, excel in it, remain in it. And the word excel actually means to overflow. Means that you're so filled up in it that it flows out of you. And so when we are filled up with God and the word of God and we spend time with it, it just flows out of us. Here's what Paul is saying. If you're a follower of Christ, as you're a Christian, you have been set apart by God to continually walk with him, right? To walk with him. But we face worldly and fleshly temptations all the time, right? It's not easy to do that. And so Just as eating breakfast and exercising and drinking water is important, those are priorities in our life. You should do that, right? We got some medical people in here. They would say, do those things. They are good for you. They help you be healthy. Our time with God, our walk with God, and our obedience to God should be a top priority so that we remain healthy. Verse 2 says, you know the commands we gave you are through the Lord Jesus. Guys, I need you guys to hear this morning because some of the things that we talk about, they're not coming from me, okay? Are you guys with me? Man, they're from the Lord Jesus, right? They're from the Word of God. And so that's what Paul is saying. Hey, the commands that we're laying out are from Jesus, meaning it's important, right? It's important we should follow it as we tackle it this morning. So when we hear from God this morning, we can trust it, okay? We might not like it, but we can trust it. We can trust God. We can trust what He says. We can trust His design and His plan, even when it seems counter to the world around us or counter to what we feel. And because it comes from the Lord, we must pursue and obey His word. So church, two ways to make your walk with the Lord a priority is the first one is this: commit to know what God says. Make a commitment to know what God says. As we face things in this world, let us go to Him and see what does God say about this. Because you just got to jump online, man. You just go to Facebook and you type in a question, everybody's going to tell you their opinion, right? Even if you don't ask for it, right? They're just going to tell you. Everybody wants to tell you something. So when we're facing something in life, we say, God, what does your word say about this? So know what God says. And then two is commit to obey what God commands. I know we're Americans. We don't like the word obey. But let's get over it, right? Like we follow it. We trust it. We commit to obey what God commands. And so that leads us to verse 3. We must walk with our Lord. We must make that a priority. We must remain in His word. We must be obedient to that word. And then in verse 3, Paul begins to speak into their lives about their walk with the Lord, with Jesus, regarding sexual purity. Why would Paul begin with this topic? He's just been celebrating, saying, hey, man, you guys are doing really good stuff. Now let's talk about sexual purity. It kind of seems like a weird transition, but that's what he does. And so we first talked about this in our very first week of this study, which was, you know, weeks ago. But here's the reality. These people were living in the city of Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a happening city, right? It was the city to be in. People wanted to move there. People didn't want to leave there. People traveled through there, and they were there for jobs. They were there for money. They were there for entertainment. They were there for education. They were there for political power. They went there seeking a better life. They went there seeking answers to life because there was a lot of different belief systems, a lot of different religions. But we also talked about this city, that this city had sexual temptations around every corner. A lot of times in our culture, we look at our world today and we wonder, man, where did we go wrong with all of this sexuality stuff, right? I mean, where did we go wrong? And church, let's be honest, man, we're headed down the wrong path in that. Let's just be honest, man. There's no doubt about it. As a culture, we are walking further and further away from what God says about sex. We just are. But here's the thing. This isn't new. This has been a problem since sin entered the world, right? All throughout Scripture, we see God's word, the Bible, speak into the arena. And so God reminds us, hey, this is my design for sexuality. Their culture had a lot of similarities with what we see today. And Paul is wanting them. He said, hey, guys, we need you to pursue pure lives because you belong to Jesus, right? You represent Jesus. Connie, your shirt on the back, Jesus follower. We represent Christ, don't we? Right? That's what we do. We represent the Lord. He's in charge of our life. And a huge temptation surrounding this whole church was the idea of pursuing. It's hard to pursue purity during this. There's a lot of temptations around there. And they were pursuing, this city was pursuing whatever, however, and with whomever they wanted when it came to sexuality. Does it sound familiar? I mean, it's just kind of like, hey, man, I'm gonna get in trouble if I keep going further. But here's what we see: we live in an anything goes world, right? We live in a you do you, you be you, you only live once, whatever makes you happy society. And here's the reality: that's not God's design for your life. It's just not. It's a path that leads to impurity and brokenness. How do we know that? Look out your window, look, bless you. Look at your own life. Right? I mean, when we live outside of God's design, it leads to brokenness. Worldly sexuality is all around us. It seems like sexuality is in every third commercial, right? I mean, you know, a new commercial comes up and my boy's like, can I watch, daddy? You know, like, it's just crazy. Like, it's just there. It's in all of our shows, right? right? It's in our books, it's in our novels, it's in magazines. It said that, church, hear me out. It says that pornography is a $100 billion worldwide industry, and that's probably a low estimate. Listen to some of these stats. They did a very large in-depth survey, just surveying people, not necessarily Christians, but just people. It says 90% of teens and 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral when they talk about porn with their friends. It's just part of their conversation. It's been normalized. There was a survey that showed only 55% of adults in America believe pornography is wrong. Teens and young adults, 13 to 24, believe that not recycling is worse than viewing pornography. Now, here's the reality. We should recycle, amen? Like, we should take care of our world, right? Be careful. My son is always, Brody, he's always really good. Dad, why are you putting that in there? Should it go in recycling? And I'm like, I know your grandma puts that in recycling, but it's not supposed to go in there. I'm just kidding. She's just right here. But you get what I'm saying? We should take care of, I mean, don't hit me, right? We should recycle. We should take care of the world. But think about what that stat says. It says when it comes to morals in our country, the majority believe of our young adults and our teens that not recycling is worse than pornography. And guys, before we start pointing fingers, it's not just a problem out there. Like, it's a problem in here, right? 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women saying they are currently viewing pornography at least once a month. Another study out of a different resource says that 98% of men in America either have or are struggling with pornography. And the other 2% are lying. Ladies, about 15 years ago, that number was only 30-some percent for ladies. It's about 70% for ladies now. Like, it's crazy. Like, sexuality is all around us. And guys, we have smartphones in our pockets, right? We can access anything we want in the privacy of our own home. You used to have to go to the library or to go to a magazine store or go to a friend's house and rent a movie. Are you with me, church? Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy here. This is real. It's out there. Y'all know that I'm speaking truth here, right? I mean, we just have access to it. There's a new, there's a speaker out there. I would quote him, but I can't remember his name. Colin, goodness, he just passed away last year. But he says this. He said, you want to introduce your, when do you want to give your kids a cell phone? I'm going to get it right. Okay, here we go. Let's start over. The quote says this. When should I give my kids a smartphone? When you're ready to introduce them to pornography. That's the quote. And this is not a Christian man. This is just a man that is just out there. He's saying that's when it starts, when you give it to them. You know, back when I was younger, the age was about 16 whenever kids were introduced to pornography. It's now 11. And I would say it's less younger than that. And so we need to know that sinful sexuality isn't a problem that only the world has or only that other countries have or other that people in the history have. We have it, right? It's a problem that all of us can relate to. It's been a problem for a very long time. And so Paul is going to speak to that here. And I want to say this before we move on. I kind of feel weird about saying this up here, but I'm just going to say it. Sex is a good thing, right? It comes from God. It's God's idea. I don't want you all looking at me right now. I just feel weird, okay? But it is. Like, it's God's idea. He created it. He designed it. He's the one that set the parameters and boundaries for it. It is a gift from God, but sometimes we open that gift too soon. Or sometimes we use the gift in ways God never intended. God gave us sex within the boundaries of marriage. Church, don't take my word for it. The Bible says it's very clear. Trust in the Lord Jesus, not me. A marriage is between one man and one woman, one husband and one wife. And we are to enjoy the gift of sexuality and experience that gift within God's design. Not before we get married, not with someone we aren't married to, not viewing things we shouldn't be viewing. When we experience this gift outside of God's marriage, church, it's sin. It's immorality. And Paul began by saying, make your walk with God a priority. Know his word, be in it, study in it, grow in it, obey it, trust God, even if you don't like what it says, right? We're to trust God and his design and his boundaries as Jesus followers when it comes to all forms of sexuality. So let's look at verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. He says, for this is God's will. What is your sanctification? That you keep away from sexual immorality. That's God's will, right? Our sanctification is for us to grow and pursue pure and holy lives. And God's word is telling us that for us to live pure lives, for us to be in God's will, we're to avoid and keep away from sexual immorality. This includes all forms of sexual immorality. It includes pornography, lust, adultery, homosexuality, fornication, and we could list more and more and more. I'm just going to throw it out there, church. It seems like there's something added every time we get on the internet. We're to stay away from it. If it's outside of God's design, we stay away from it. But I want to say this too. Sometimes we in the church, or just any of us, we pick and choose which ones we think are worse or more sinful. Listen to what the Bible says. All forms of sexual immorality are sin and against God's design. So before you go and point at someone else, see how many fingers are pointing back at you and what are you wrestling with, right? It's not God's will for your life if you're a Christian to live in sexual immorality. And that's why Paul says, keep away from it, abstain from it. So church number 2 in your notes, how do we walk with the Lord? We avoid and flee sexual immorality. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, this is just one spot in the Bible. You might be taking it out of context. Well, we could probably walk through 100 different passages, but I'm going to pull out one. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this. It says, flee sexual immorality. You know what that means, young people? It means run. That's what it means. Get away from it. You know what that means, men? It means whenever someone sends you an email you shouldn't be looking at, you shut that thing off and you run. That's what it means. Are you with me, guys? Like when we have temptations in front of us because we stayed at the office a little too long, you know what that means? It means we run. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside of the body, but sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? The Holy Spirit lives within you, whom you have been bought for with a price. Oh, I missed a spot. You have from God, right? And that you are not your own, for you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Man, when Jesus came and lived the life for us and died on the cross and rose again, and we say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Please forgive me. Adopt me into your family. We are his. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But the Lord takes this seriously, and so we should run and flee. We should keep away from sexual immorality. Again, we can trust in God's design. We can believe and trust what he says. And so when we walk with the Lord, we need to avoid and flee sexual immorality. Verse 3 through 5, he says, keep away from sexual immorality that each of you knows how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. God's not necessarily calling out a particular group of people. He's identifying people that don't walk with the Lord. Paul is saying to keep away from sexual sin, to be in God's will when it comes to purity, church, we have to take personal responsibility. Have self-control, right? Over your own actions and over your own body. Sexual temptations are not going away. I remember I was a young pastor, 25 years old, and I was talking to a man that was in his 70s. And we were just talking about something in life. And he was talking about a temptation that he still has in his 70s. Church, it doesn't go away. Men and women, it doesn't go away. Like, it's there. But by the grace of God, we can and we should say no to that desire, to that sinful desire. Guys, we know what we struggle with. We know what our temptations are, right? Some people might struggle where others don't. If there's something that leads you to sin, keep away from it. Any kind of sin. If you know walking into a candy store is going to lead you to steal a bar of candy, you should stay out of that. Are you with me, church? Right? We also read in James that God will give us a way of escape. When the temptation comes, look to God and we flee. Paul's saying, know where you struggle, men and women, young people. Know what tempts you. Know what leads you down the wrong path and avoid it. Run from it. Don't pursue lustful passions. Don't pursue what those that don't follow God pursue. We are called to pursue purity. Church, I just want to take a time out here just for a second. When it comes to purity, sexual purity, I'm just going to tell you firsthand, I have watched marriages and families and lives destroyed because someone couldn't say no. This is no joke. This isn't an opinion. This is what doctors and counselors and sociologists believe on really across the globe on this. Sexual impurity leads to bad things. So have boundaries. Have accountability. If you're struggling in an area, have someone you can talk to and say, man, I'm really struggling in this area. You got to think about what you're watching on TV. You know, I think about what's on TV right now, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, that never would have been allowed back when I was growing up. And now we gotta watch something before, even cartoons sometimes, before our kids watch it. Know what you're watching. Be careful the conversations you're having. This great thing called texting and social media a lot of times allows for private conversations that should not be happening. Amen? Man, it's just a reality. They're good. Technology is great, but sometimes it leads to bad things. Be careful when you're alone with the opposite sex. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to just come up with some rules. I'm trying to give godly wisdom. Amen? I mean, that's just the reality. Man, you can call it whatever you want, but the Bible tells us to be wise and stay away from things that cause us to sin. Right? Jesus says our relationship with him is priority. Your relationship with your spouse is next in line. Your kids, are you with me? Anything that destroys those things, you should run from. Men, be men and flee from them. Ladies, same thing. Well, don't be men, but ladies, flee. Yeah, that's another sermon, all right? Woo! Okay, hang on. Ladies, be. You know what I mean. Moving the page, all right. Paul goes deeper because he wants us to get the severity of the importance of this here. Verse 6. This means one must not transgress against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses. And so we also previously told and warned you. Guys, many times we look at, you know, sexual sin, especially like pornography, and we look at it and we say, man, it's only a personal sin, like it doesn't hurt anybody else. But I'm just going to tell you, that's a lie that we buy into. When I was doing collegiate ministry, I sat across the table from probably 100 young men that were just gripped by pornography and couldn't get out of it. It's no joke. It changes the chemical reactions in your brain when you see that. Like, it changes you. Or we say, when it comes to sex, we say, well, it was consensual, so it's okay. Well, I'm glad it was consensual. But Paul says, don't take advantage of or lead others into this sin or be a part of that with others. Again, trust the word of God, right? Here's what we're supposed to do with others. Care about them. Care about other people's purity. Love them enough. Men, hear me clearly. Love the ladies enough not to pressure them into doing something like that. Amen? Ladies, same thing. Love them enough to help them not sin and walk with the Lord. Don't pursue this sin, especially, well, with anybody, but with other Christians is what the Bible's saying. The Bible is clearly saying any act of sexual immorality, even if it is consensual, is a sin because it's outside of God's will and design. And it's not only a sin against God, but we also see that it's a sin against your own body and it's a sin against them. Not only are you losing something that you shouldn't have lost yet, but you're taking away from something, or they're giving you something they shouldn't have. Are you with me, church? Church, listen, Paul says the Lord is the avenger of all these offenses. God takes sexual sin seriously because he knows the damage it causes. They are impure. I like this quote from this commentary that I'm reading called Exalting Jesus. It says this, sexual sin, when we commit sexual sin, it is saying to God, God, I don't care if I sin against you, and I also don't care if I cause this other person to sin against you. That's what that verse is saying. Church, our aim as Christians is to provoke one another and to help one another to love and good works. It's to help one another follow Christ and his will. And when we pursue sexual sin, it often includes another person, which also leads them in. It's like you're walking into sin together. As we pursue Jesus and pure lives, let us help one another do the same. Paul closes with these last two verses. For God has not called us to impurity, but to live life, or to live in holiness. It means to be set apart. Consequently, anyone who rejects this rejects what? What he just said. this makes me feel better because this isn't like the easiest thing to preach on, by the way. Amen? Right? But it's like, anyone who rejects what I just said is not rejecting man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. What a perfect closing, right? And here's the thing, man. Often we have questions of why. God, why do you want, why is this your boundaries? Why? And those are good questions. We should ask those questions. We should have that conversation. And by the way, parents, do not be afraid to have these talks in your home. I'm going to say something here. I love our teachers, but it is not the school's responsibility to train your children up in sexuality. It's not. And the reason that it's happening is because parents are not doing it. Ephesians 6 says that we, parents, are to raise our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And God is saying sexuality is part of our walk with Christ. Paul answers kind of the questions why a little bit. Here's the thing, church. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of what the culture around us is saying or doing, what others have said is right, what definitions have changed, what has changed, we pursue sexual purity and all forms of it. Why? Because God, whom we trust and love and died for us and rose again and calls us to be his and forgave us, he calls us to it. You know, as children, you know, my oldest, he's going to be 9 in September. Why, Dad? Why? And, you know, you got to have those conversations with him. You can't just say, because I said so. I mean, you can do that when they're 3. But as they get older, you need to help them process and learn. But sometimes, you know, Jax will just ask these questions over and over again. He goes deeper than I'm ready to go, right, with him. And I was like, buddy, you just have to trust me. Do you trust Daddy? Well, yeah. Just trust me on this. This is what I'm asking you to do right now. And then maybe in a couple years when they're old enough to have that conversation. Why do we pursue sexual purity? Because it's God's will. Because he's the one that created sex. Because we are his. Guys, we don't get to decide what is pure and what isn't. He defines sexuality. He sets the parameters and the boundaries. And his designs are biblically clear, church. His will is clear. Sex is a wonderful, amazing gift from God, but it's to be experienced within the boundaries of marriage between one man and one woman, a husband and wife. That's it. Not before marriage. Not with someone other than their spouse. Not with men. Not between men. Not between women. Not lusting. Not pornography. Right? That's God's design and it's his will. And by the way, if we know someone that's struggling in any sexual sin, man, our goal is to like love on them and encourage them and to pray for them and not to beat up on. Are you with me, church? We're really good at that in the church. We need to knock that off. That was free, by the way. I didn't even get my notes. But it's God's design, his will. That's why we pursue purity, because we trust God. We pursue this because we trust him. And when we don't, when we pursue and live out sexual immorality, we're not rejecting man. You're not rejecting what I say. You're not rejecting what someone else says. You are rejecting what God says. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us that God the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit resides within us. And you know what he's doing? He's opposing our sin. He's at war with our sin. And he's speaking into our lives saying, Jeff, don't do that. It's not good for you. Trust me. And we are to listen when God speaks. And so our closing note is this. God is who we live for. It's God who we live for. We're not living for to make people happy or to satisfy someone or to satisfy ourselves. God is who we live for. But here's the thing. We're going to mess up. We are going to mess up. We're going to sin. But God is gracious and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, church. We can take our sin to him no matter what it is, and he won't reject us or turn from us. Guess what? He already knows. He already knows. Too often we live according to our flesh and what we want, or we live to please others, but it's him that we're to live for. We can trust him. We can trust what his word says. Amen, church? All right.